Good morning. First, a short apology. I'm suffering from a bit of a cough and a cold at the moment. I hasten to add, it's not man flu. And for all you ladies out there, man flu is very important. It only actually occurs because men are so stoic that we take everything on board. And when it gets that little bit too much, honestly, ladies, I do not lie to you, that's when we complain. So, you know, that's what man flu is. So I've not quite got man flu yet, although I'm building up to it, as you can tell. So, this is the third in our sermon series of true spirituality, looking at 1 Corinthians. And this week's title is True Leadership. Now, I saw this on the internet this week about a wolf pack. And it said, a wolf pack, the first three are old or sick. They give pace to the entire pack. If it were the other way around, they would be left behind, losing contact with the pack. In case of ambush, they would be sacrificed. Then come five stronger ones, the front line. In the centre are the rest of the pack members, and then the five strongest following. Last and alone is the alpha male. He controls everything from the rear. In that position, he can see everything, decide the direction and what they are to do. He sees all of the pack. The pack moves according to the elders' pace and help each other and watch over each other. Now, that's all really nice. And I checked this out. And it's a really nice story. But unfortunately, it's not true. So... But it is a really good illustration of good leadership. So, I have a question. What kind of leader are you? Out front, charging along, without a care for what is happening behind you, or watching over everyone? And we are all leaders. We lead by example. We lead our families, our friends, and our work colleagues. And we should be leading those to Christ. Now, it would be helpful if you all have your Bibles open and can follow through our passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 on page 1145. Let's look again at the first verses. We read, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ." Our writer Paul is not holding back here. He is telling the reader what he thinks. And what he thinks is that they're not spirit-filled believers. They are just new in their belief, infants in their faith. That, like all children, they have a lot to learn. Now, some of you are what a friend of mine calls himself and others, cradle Christians. In other words, those who have believed all their life. If that's you, this statement may sound strange. But to others, like me, who had no real faith until later in life, we are more able to see where we are, where we come to faith, and what we were like before, during, and after. Some of us in both groups have grown. Some of us in both groups are still children, in the sense that Paul is talking about. And at this point, I would also like to point out that I've heard cradle Christians say that they wish they had a life before they knew Jesus. And I've got to say to them, don't envy us that didn't know Jesus all our lives. We envy you. You don't want the weight of that guilt. God has forgiven us, but we find it hard to forgive ourselves. And I remember when I was a new Christian, I would go on about all sorts of things. Go on about how the church should be run. Go on about what Christians should do. And the real Christians, those that I was speaking to, that were full of the Spirit, would look at me and smile with love in their eyes. Not agreeing, but not verbally disagreeing either. Now I know that they understood I was a baby in Jesus. Just like when we listen to some teenagers now, well, actually, most teenagers now. And when we were teenagers, let's face it, teenagers know everything. And not only that, they're always right. But we know that as we grow up, that we, when we were teenagers, actually knew very little, and we just were full of ourselves. So now the same question is for all Christians. As you were fed the gospel, either all through your life or just a part of it, did you digest it? Did you take it in? Did you let the Spirit of God guide you? Or did you want to be in control? But still be a member of God's people, a forever baby who has never grown up in Jesus and never become Spirit-filled. Paul's leadership style here can be described as tough love. He loves the people of Corinth, but he does not hold back the truth. So let's look at what Paul says in verse 2. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. And Paul is saying he gave the people what they needed because they were not ready for anything else. And they are still not ready for anything else. They are not opening themselves to the Spirit of God. They are not open to the full message of the gospel. They have replaced one religion with another and have not connected with the Holy Spirit. The one about who Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Now we have to let the Holy Spirit in. We have to listen to God's Spirit. So, what was the evidence that these Corinthians were not moving on in their life with Christ? Let's look at what Paul says about the problem in verse 3. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? My version of the Bible actually said humans. I think it's just trying to be politically correct. So I think I prefer the word men. Paul is saying, where is the love of your neighbour? You can't even love your brother and sister in Christ. Now again, when I was a new Christian, I had this guy give me a real dressing down about how I'd led a small service. He gave me the dressing down in the evening service after I'd led the morning service. And he was not filled with love. He did not do tough love. He had anger in his face, and his whole body was full of anger, and his voice was booming at me. And he had a real go at me. And I've got to admit, all I wanted to do was punch him on the nose. Because I knew that if I hit him on the nose, I'd get the next two blows in as well. And then it suddenly occurred to me that it wouldn't be a great thing to do that in a church. So I held on to my anger and I spoke to a friend. Well, in actual fact, I ranted at my friend. And my friend, a loving Christian, said, Ken, you need to pray about this. Thanks, friend. Thanks. That's not really the help I want. But he was right. So I did pray about it. And God said, forgive him. I thought, forgive him? You must be having a laugh. I ain't going to forgive him. I can't forgive him. It's unreasonable. Any case, the next week we had communion. And as I got up to share the peace, I see this person. And I felt God tell me to go and share the peace with him and to forgive him again. So I did. And here's the thing. When we say confession or we share the peace, God knows if we mean it. We can't fool God. God will know if you truly are repentant, if you truly want to live with your brother and sister. Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself. And I have a question associated with this. What are you teaching your children or grandchildren? If someone winds you up, do you complain about them in front of your children? Do you run them down in front of your children? Children repeat most things, especially what they hear adults say. They think it makes them sound clever. They think it makes them sound grown up. The other day I heard a child say something not very nice about somebody else, and there was absolutely no way that this child would have come up with that statement on their own. It was an adult statement. And this is incredibly poor leadership. If we cannot say something good about someone in front of our children, say nothing. So the question Paul and I are asking is, are we children of God? Or are we just like the world? Are we behaving just like everybody else? And let's look at verse 4. Paul gives some more examples of what is wrong. He says in verse 4, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? So, part of the problem was that every human thing, my side is better than your side. My church is better than your church because we do it this way or we don't do that. And Paul reminds them that they are better than that. They are more than people who do not yet know Jesus. Yes, in other churches, some practices may be questionable, but the bottom line is, do they know and love the Lord Jesus Christ? If yes, then they are a brother and sister in Christ. In verses 4:5-9, Paul explains what is wrong with their thinking. He says, what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God, who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Who is Phil? Who am I? Who is Bishop Stephen? Or even Archbishop Justin Welby? We are all the same. We are servants, co-workers, who have listened to God and have been given a task by God. Now, I don't know what Phil's done wrong to end up here with me and you. But I know he listened to God, and I know I listened to God. To come to minister and to teach all you lovely, wonderful people. Well, some of you are lovely and wonderful. Well, maybe, no, you are all really lovely, wonderful people. It was amazing how many people's faces dropped slightly when I said most of your words to that effect. God loves you. And God's told me and Phil to love you. And we do our best to do that near enough all the time. You are God's field. You are God's building. Well, you are, if you let yourself be God's glory. We all have our part to play in God's kingdom, here on earth, in Gideon Park, in our families, and in our workplaces. God has chosen you and me, and we are all true leaders. We lead our families our friends and our work colleagues to Jesus Christ. Jesus did not say, keep it quiet. He said, tell everyone. Our faith is not private. It should be public, because Jesus, in his last words on earth, said, go tell the nations. And I don't see how you can keep a faith private and tell the nations as well. So, we should do this because Jesus said so. Now in verse 10 and 11, Paul tells us how to do what he says. Paul says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is our true leader, on which our faith is based. If you don't know how to share your faith, Jesus showed you. If you don't know what to say, Jesus told us. And as I mentioned earlier, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to help us. Just be open and listen to that small, still voice, and be brave and take that step of faith. A good leader works as a team. And our leader, our true leader, Jesus, works with a team. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you and me. All of us who want to be a part of that team. No one is forced, and if you really join the team, you will be a true leader. Now in verses 12 and 13, Paul gives us a warning. He says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Now, Paul is not really talking about bricks and mortar buildings. He's using an illustration. He is saying that you need to build on your faith with solid doctrine, not false doctrines and ideas. Study the Bible. What does it say? Where does your theology come from? From the world or from the Bible and Jesus? Our foundation is Jesus and the Bible. And we have the added advantage over Paul's readers of having the church fathers, from Ambrose and Augustine to today's great teachers like John Stott and one of my favourites, Francis Chan, to name but a few, to help us grow in our faith. And Paul warns that we need to build upon this foundation, this strong, sure foundation of Jesus, so that our faith will stand the test of fire, unlike poor foundations, which are made of wood, hay and straw. These are worthless things, which we might build upon, i.e. poor teaching and poor doctrine. So what Paul is saying here is a Christian foundation is a most precious gift, and it is a gift which every Christian has been granted. After coming to Christ, we need to be careful regarding what we place on that foundation. That foundation which has been given to us by God and is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to weigh what we say and how we lead others. Now Paul goes on to say in verse 14, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive his reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Now verse 14 is very clear. Good builder, good leader, no problem. You will be rewarded. But verse 15, if what you have made is burned, you, the leader, will suffer, but you will not be lost. Now, I read this like this, that at some point, whether in this life or on the day of judgment, what we have done will be made clear to us. And if we have been using poor theology, poor doctrine, that like a bad builder, then the truth will hit us. It will be devastating, as we know that fire is devastating, as we witnessed recently. But they will come through it. Verse 15 confirms that those are God's. Verse 15 confirms that those are God's true people, since they are certainly saved. That is not in question. For no one can snatch us or pluck us out of the Father's hand. However, the useless things in our present life will not make it through the fire. In verse 16, Paul says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." What Paul is saying is, God loves you. Yes, he loves you all. If you have accepted his son Jesus, he will protect you. God loves everyone, but unfortunately, not everyone loves God. And those that have accepted Jesus into their lives are God's dwelling place, where the Holy Spirit lives. And if anyone tries to take you away, then God will not help them. So, as we come to land, are you an infant in Christ? Do you know Jesus? If the answer to either of these two questions is yes, then please come and see me or Phil. Talk to us after the service, or just get in contact with us through the week and talk through how you can grow in Jesus, or how to become a true Christian, a true follower of Jesus. If you think you are an infant and want to grow, you need to be open yourself to the Holy Spirit, to listen and obey to that small, still voice. Don't think of reasons not to do what God asks you to do. Are you in the world? Are you a Sunday Christian? Or are you in Jesus? Are you his servant, his co-worker, and in God's service? Or are you working for yourself and what you can get? If you are in Christ, are you building others up? No good foundation on good foundations with good teaching? Or are you teaching your children to be, are you teaching your children to be true Christians, to love each other? Or are you complaining about others? As I said, we are all leading someone, family, friends, and work colleagues. We who believe are God's temple. We should be full of God's Holy Spirit. We should be doing his work. We should be building others up, not knocking them down. We should all be true leaders in Christ, helping each other and others to know Jesus, spreading the good news that God loves us all, being leaders who raise up other leaders, and raising up other disciples, so that we can follow our true leader, Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that you love us and that you love this world. Father, we pray for an infilling of your Holy Spirit, and that we will be true leaders of those that you put in and around us and near us. Help us, Lord, to be leaders who raise up leaders, to be disciples who raise up other disciples, to follow you, Lord Jesus, our true leader. For your glory we pray. Amen.
Let's respond to what we've heard.